Good evening.
Good evening, Malcolm.
How are you doing?
Good, I'm fine. And you?
Okay, sure, I'm well. Let's wait a couple of minutes, see if somebody else comes, but then we can get started.
Okay.
Are things getting back to normal?
Yes, sir, they are. I was just extremely tired over the weekend. Had company all weekend. So,
That does make you tired, so
yeah.
this is a week of family, so I understand.
Exactly right. We had a great time. But it takes a toll.
It does.
Are you spending Thanksgiving with your family?
Yes, I'm going over my daughter's who lives nearby, and my daughter who lives far away is coming in. So all my
Great.
grandchildren will be in the same house, and all my children. So it'll be nice.
It'll be a great gathering.
Let's wait one more minute, then we'll start.
Okay.
As I'm showing. Oh.
Randall.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are on Parashat Noah, section 16. The verse is 122. And we'll start with the Lishem Yichud. Lishem Yichud Kudshaber Yichud Shintei Bid Hiluur 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 Himu Leyakta Lishem Yudhei Bavate Biyichuda Shilim Lishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kununei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kununeihu Amar Rabbi Shimon, arei mat yedai bitzlutin le'ela dekad reuta ila'a le'ela le'ela kaima al hahu reuta ila it yada below it pas ilal le'almin Reisha desatim Yatir leela vehahu Reisha Reisha apik my de apik Vila yadia venaher my de nahir Kola Beastimu. Rabbi Shimon said, I raise my hands in high to prayer. As he began to reveal the order of the emanations of the upper three sephirot of Arikan Pin, which are called Keter. The brain, the Hebrew word is moach, of air. And the concealed brain, the moach, he began, too, to reveal how to rise up to the unknown head, which is the secret of the endless world. In Hebrew, that's the Ein Sof, blessed be he. Because this issue is an exalted and very secret matter, he prayed so that the revelation of these secrets would be accepted before Hashem, blessed be he. When the supernal desire at the highest point above, which is the secret of Ketan of Arichantin, is established upon the forever unknown and ungraspable desire, which is the secret of the head of Atik, called the unknown head, Keter of Arifampin. Because the most concealed head above, and that head emanates something that is unknown, which is the brain of air of Arifampin. And he illuminates all that he illuminates in a concealed manner, which is the concealed brain of Arifampin, as shall be further explained. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So we're talking about Keter of Arifampin and also Keter of Enlil, the three upper worlds. Which is Keter, Bima,
no.
and...
No.
Okay.
No, we're really not. We're talking about a part suf, meaning a structure of 10 sephirot. And we're talking about that part suf, that structure, being at the highest level, which we would normally call Keter. But here in Arifampin, Keter consists of three levels that are one above the other. They're not right, left, and central. By being one above the other, there is the Keter of Arifampin. And that Keter has three components. The names of those components are given to us at the beginning of this section. So let me read them just to be sure I'm saying them right. There is the Keter of Arifampin. There is the brain of air, which is the central column of the Keter of Arifampin. And there is the concealed brain, which is the Keter of Arifampin. I'm sorry. Disregard what I just said because I've confused you. We're talking about this partsuf called Arifampin, which is 10 sephirot, a structure of 10 sephirot at the level of the Keter. And within that Keter, there are three components, three levels. The highest level is called the unknown head. Below that, you have the mohin, the brain of air, which is a term relating to the central column of the brain being the upper three sephirot. But we're only talking in terms of Keter. We're only talking in terms of Keter of Keter. So it's hard to understand how we're understanding this, because we think in terms of the three columns all the time. But in this case, it's not three columns, it's one above the other. There's the unknown head, then there is the mohin of air, which is the middle one of the three, and then the lowest one is just called the mohin, the brains. Now, in Keter, everything is potential, because the word Keter means crown. So you're not talking about something that is within the body, or even within the head. You're talking about something that rests on the head. But those three structures are potential development of all 10 sephirot within the frame of Keter. And that's what's being discussed here, being described here, but not really going into any details. It's telling us more details will follow.
Okay.
Does that give you a better understanding of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Brandy, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, feel free.
No, that explains it better.
Now, the next verse, 123. Re'o demacha shava ila'a lemir da pavat re'ya ulit nehara mineya chad perisu it peres umi goy hahu perisa birdifu dehahiyo macha shava Ila amate vila mate adahu parisa nahir mad nahir ukdenihu machashava ila nahir bin piru satim dila yadia Behahu Mahashava Layada. The desire of the supernal thought, which is Keter of Arikantin, called the supernal will or the supernal desire, after it has been established as the head, it is called supernal thought. But as it desires to run after the unknown head to shine from it, a veil spreads between the unknown head and the Keter. And from within the veil, the light reaches yet does not reach it. The veil hinders it from reaching there. Something shines upward toward the veil, but not from there downward. Therefore, supernal thought shines with unrevealed illumination. To the concealed brain, the moach, and with light unknown to the brain of air. But thought itself, which is Keter, is considered unknown. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I guess we're still talking about potential at this point.
Yes, anytime you're talking about Keter, you're talking about potential.
So an action needs to be some kind of action needs to be performed down. Is that here? Or?
Your phone is breaking up, so I'm not following you. So start over, please.
Okay, so it's potential, because we're talking about Keter. And then the thought has not developed because an action hasn't been performed to bring the light down. To reveal...
That's true, what does an action look like at the level of thought? Because what we're talking about, the first concept of a thought, if we take the sentence, I am, let me see if I can remember to be clear. I think, therefore I am. That's the philosopher Descartes who said that. And most philosophers follow that statement as truth. But let's just look at that statement. There's a word I before there is the word thought. I think. So if we now go reread this, the first sentence, the desire of the supernal thought. That's the word I. The first thought starts with the consciousness of myself. Now, can we attribute that idea to God? Right here, the Zohar is telling us we can. God thinks in terms of I. His first thought, before his first thought, was the consciousness that he existed. So the desire of the supernal thought, the essence of I, Anohi, or Ani in Hebrew, this is that first statement. Now Rabbi Ashlag comes in that says, that is Keter of Arich Anpin. I think is the Keter of Arich Anpin. It is the Keter of a structure of 10 Sephirot. That is in the existence concept of thinking.
That almost sounds like the fourth phase.
So that
phase.
I think is a desire, because will, the supernal will, is that it's not truly a desire, because God doesn't desire anything. Because to have a desire implies a lack. We want things. We want something. We want love. We want caring. We want health. These are things we have a lack of, or even if we don't have a lack, the concept of the desire, what I'm thinking about, that is called the supernal will, the supernal desire. And now Rabbi Ashlag says, after it has been established as the head, it is called supernal thought. So I think the consciousness of some I exist has to be brought down and manifest as a thought. But there's something even above that thought. The word I, what does the word I mean? This is where it gets a little very deep, very strange, and Rabbi Ashlag tells us, don't even bother to try and understand that, just accept it. Because the more you contemplate that, it doesn't help you with doing your tikkun. It's a process of, excuse my expression, mental masturbation. There is an I, but it doesn't exist. It can't be perceived by anything outside of itself. And then there's a thought. What is the thought? It's a desire, but it's not a desire. What do I mean by that? Maybe the first thought is, I'm alone, and therefore I want something outside of me so that I'm not alone. Maybe. Can I say that that's what God's thought, first thought was? Of course not. I'm so far from God's first thought that all I'm doing is playing with myself to think about that.
Hello? Hello?
I think he cut himself off.
Okay.
So I have returned again because the call dropped.
Okay.
But essentially what I'm saying, or what Rabbi Ashlag is saying, is until the thought is established, what is the desire? But it can't be a desire because that implies a lack. So it's called the supernal will. It's a thought to do an action. It's going to create something that it does for a purpose that we cannot understand at this point. But once the thought is established, that thought doesn't want to leave the unknown head. It doesn't want to leave the concept of I. The thought is to have something other than I. But that thought, I want to be other than I, doesn't really want to leave I. It's looking to get back to that situation where it's within the I. I hope that's making sense.
Now that this thought
has been established, the thought is outside of the I, but it wants back in. And that's where it says there's a veil. It wants to get back into the I, to the unknown head, because it wants whatever that that fulfillment is. But there's a veil, there's something that keeps it from getting there. It might get a mirror image of it, but it can't get there and be in unity again. It can't get there and be one. It's separated from the I. It wants to get back to the I, but it cannot. It's impossible.
Kind of reminds me of.
Go ahead.
Kind of reminds me of Adam and Eve and being kicked out of the garden and wanting back in.
Correct.
And cannot come back in because of the sword.
That's exactly right. Correct. So
that's
exactly how the sages took the words of the Torah and then began to understand it and present it to us in this way. Now, I'm not saying that we could understand it without that, but you're absolutely correct. Because Adam and Eve is a lot of them, 100 steps down the road, maybe 1,000 steps down the road. But it's the same thing. Everything is a circle. Everything repeats itself. It's just on a lower level. So Adam and Eve are thrown out of the garden. The thought has left the eye. The thought wants to go back. Adam and Eve want to go back. You're absolutely, it's a perfect analogy. But what happens? It can't get back in. So the light that is within the veil, that is behind the veil, reaches out and kind of pushes the baby away, pushes the thought away. Well, the thought is trying to get back, and the light is pushing the thought away, and that's where binding by striking is coming from. Because it's impossible for the thought to get back to the I, but the I is taking care of its child by giving it enough energy to turn around and look to see what it can do.
So it's like creating a new world for itself, you know.
Correct.
Yeah. So Adam and Eve had to create what energy they did have into a new existence, a new world outside of the supreme, so the I, so to speak.
Correct. So now what has happened? The veil spreads and keeps the unknown head and the Keter of the air, I think it's the Keter of the air, from coming back to get into back to the eye. The veil is there, it keeps everything separated, but it's not really separated because it's all considered the Keter. It's all within the potential. So the thought receives energy from the eye, or it receives energy from that it received at its beginning. And so it's looking upward, trying to get through the veil, and it's shining into the eye, but at the same time it's saying, whatever I shine into the eye, there's nothing I can do because the eye doesn't want what I'm shining into it, so I might as well turn around and look down. I might as well start to shine down. But that has to be the choice, the free choice of the thought. If the thought says, I don't want to do this, nothing happens, right?
Right.
It doesn't go down to the Keter, to the Mohim, to Hachma and Bina. It stays up there and does nothing. So that can't be. Why can't it be? Because what is the purpose of the waste of energy? The I gave birth, so to speak, to a thought, and now the thought wants to go back to the I but can't, so it turns around and starts to share, to shine, to the Keter, the Mohin, to the Chachma and Bina, within the frame of Keter, of the potential. Therefore, the supernal thought shines with unrevealed illumination to the concealed brain, because it can't get there. It just is shining, it's trying to get there, but it's unrevealed, because it can't get there. And then it turns around and starts shining to the brain of the air, which is the central column, which is the dots in the terms of the Sephirot that we're used to. Or it's the Keter of the... But it's essentially the center column. It takes its energy and pushes to do something. And what it does depends on what the supernal will is. Now, I postulated that it wants to have something other than itself. But that doesn't mean that is a correct postulation. It can be many different things. But the more you contemplate what could it be, you end up back at this idea that it wants something outside of itself. And this is how the three levels of the Keter, the unknown head, the Keter of the air, and the Keter, how these three levels develop within the the seed level within that first step. And until all three are developed, nothing is going to happen to go down to Hachma. But understanding how that develops, all we know is the way the lower levels develop. And so we surmise that the upper levels develop the same way. But they're different because there really is no desire in the eye. It's not a true desire. So that is the paradox. That's the beginning of the paradox. Again, everything is potential. I would like to go on, but we've run out of time.
Okay. Take some thought.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of thought. I am still thinking about it. And I've been studying it for 25 years. What you see in this section, what you see in this section is developed in the Idra Zuta and the Idra Rabba, the small assembly and the large assembly. These are in two different sections in the Zohar. When Rabbi Shimon first came out of the cave, he had an assembly of 10 people. That's the large assembly. And he basically expanded this understanding, this section, he just reveals in a different way. But essentially he repeats what I can't say that he repeats what I've said. This is what I've contemplated having read those sections. And as you grow in your Kabbalistic studies, you'll read those as well. Or you won't, because that's the meaning of it shines and it doesn't shine. Because not everybody wants to get into this level of trying to understand this. But then other people, they don't want to go on until they understand this. And you have to go on before you understand this, because you cannot understand till you've experienced. And so you read this the first time, and you say to yourself, well, that's really nice. I have no idea what was said. And you let your brain cognate on it for a little bit, a year, year and a half, 10 years. And then you'll reread the verse, and it will make a little more sense. This is the way it works. You get the energy because you're being pushed out. But now you're striving to go back, and you can't get back. But you got a little more that you could glean out of the structure. So the fact that you don't understand it, the fact that it needs contemplation, is not something to run from. But it's also, it may not be what attracts you, so don't worry about it.
To me, it almost sounds like the four phases.
It is the four phases.
Well,
exactly the four phases.
Then you made some sense.
The four phases is Rabbi Ashlag's simplified teaching that lets you move on and develop and understand how the Sephirot move against each other. And then you come back and you read this, and it's, oh, this is the four phases. But it's more detailed than the four phases, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's really talking about phase one only.
Right.
Actually, it's talking what came before phase one. Because phase one is Chachma, and we're talking about Ketzer. But the more you contemplate it, the more benefits you'll receive from it. But if you don't want to complicate it, it makes you crazy to contemplate it. Don't be put off by that. Eventually, you'll come to deal with it when you are ready, when your spiritual growth is complete or more complete. So our next class will be with an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. So I'll see you at, looks like about 2 hours, a little less than 2 hours. So you all have a good evening, and we'll meet for a mini Zohar again tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.